Okay, we're going to learn for Zechus of a Refuah Shleima for Orit Linor Bat Ilana, who needs a Refuah Shleima.
Thank you.
Okay, so I want to share with you today a question that's bothered me for a really, really long time. I don't remember when I first heard this, but I remember that I heard it from Rabbi Penner, and that it was on Purim Day, and he was not completely sober when he said this. So that said, that's sort of the first time that I heard it. He was talking about that the Eitz Gavoa, the 50 Amma tree that existed, and he was talking about where it came from, and he suggested different sources from the Torah, and he never really drew, at least I don't remember, what the connection was, other than you have this really long piece of wood that somehow found its way into the garden of Hamanta or something along those lines to be the thing to hang Mordechai on. And for years I kind of wondered about it, like, first of all, where did he get that source, and beyond that, like, what does that really mean? So I don't know why, but I googled Haman's tree, hoping to get a little bit more information. And I found a really nice article on Eish.com by someone named Rabbi Simmons. So I thought that was a good starting point. And then I'm at a little bit of a handicap when it comes to the Megillah, because my best two sources for the Megillah are Rabbi Yonatan Grossman, which I've used for the Chabura over the years, and Erica Brown. But for David Henry Srilly, I basically went through the entire, both of those books for about a year. So I was like, I can't do a repeat Chabura. So I was left only with Yigal Ariel, which we did not really use so much for the Navi Shir. So I figured, let's see what he said. And he had like two whole articles just on the eights. So it kind of got me like started. So the first source that we're going to use is actually not so much on that tree, but it's a Gemara that I'm sure we've all heard. Probably can't identify it as Chulin, although for many of us, it might be the only Gemara in Chulin that we really are familiar with. And that Gemara asks the following question. It doesn't only ask this. It asks about Mordechai and Esther as well, but we're only going to focus on Haman. Haman min haTorah minayin. Where is Haman hinted to in the Torah? So the Gemara answer is Habid haEitz. It's something that we all know. It's the Nachash says to Chava, Hamin haEitz hazeh, do you want to eat from this tree? So that's what we have. So what does this Gemara mean? First of all, it doesn't say Hamin haEitz. It doesn't say Haman haEitz. It says Hamin haEitz. It's not the same word. It's different nekudos. So what exactly does that mean? And how does this pasuk hamin ha'eitz, what does this have to do, any even besides the fact that the word is hamin as opposed to haman, what does it have to do with Haman anyway? So how does this pasuk answer the question? Haman min haTorah minayin hamin ha'eitz. Not that the Esther one is any better. It's like Astir, which is, you know, similar letters, but not the same. Nekudos also to Esther. And for Mordechai, it's like Mar Jeror, which is from Kitisa. And somehow all of those things are supposed to connect. So again, a simple question that the Gemara asks, Haman min haTorah minayin, has an answer that doesn't seem so simple. And that's really what I want to try to figure out for starters. What does this Gemara mean? So I'll share with you three possibilities. Two I was able to find. The third would have been too much work. I would have had to search through a real Gemara and then take a picture of it. I don't know. I gave up hope and just, you know, have it outside. So here we go. The Ben Yehoyada. The Ben Yehoyada is a commentary on the Agadita of the Gemara. And he says the following. Haman min haTorah minayin, sha'al zeh kedei latzil Mordechai haTzadik mitluna sheyesh litlonen alav. So he says that this actually was done in a way to save Mordechai from a tluna, from a complaint that you could actually have on him. Lama nidgarab behaman Behevi yisel lidei sakana. Like, this is a question that we've asked many times. I don't know if we've ever sufficiently answered it, and I don't think that anybody is going to feel that this is a sufficient answer tonight. But why does Mordechai start off with Haman and bring the Jews to such a dangerous point? V'lachein ramaz al shemo min haTorah k'makom sheramaz shemo ramuz sofo mayebo. So he says that the hint of Haman from the Torah, which clearly Mordechai must have known, was a place where it's not only that his name is hinted, but his ending, what's going to happen to him, is here also. Hamin ha'etz, Haman. Haman is going to go on the eitz, and it is the eitz that is going to take care of Haman. Skip down two lines to the right after the period. V'lachein im yematza makom shmo shel Haman batorim yitzma yisofo b'zeh yeh nitzol Mordechai atzadik min ataromet. Nobody's going to have any tainas on Mordechai because they're going to say Mordechai was able to start up with him because he knew in the end that Haman would be hanged on the tree. Ve'yishiv Haman ha'etz v'lachein nitzol to tzadik yihu yodeh shmo heichan ramuz. He knew in the end that he was going to be hanged on the tree. All right, anybody like the Ben Yehoyada?
No, it's crutchy.
Right, it's, yeah.
I don't dislike it, you know. Particularly,
I dislike it.
I don't hate it.
Yeah, I don't hate it. Right,
hate is strong.
Okay, but yes, I did predict that it would not go over well, and I was fairly certain that David wouldn't like it. I'm actually even more certain that he's going to dislike the next one, the Chasam Sofer.
Should I not listen or what?
No, you're welcome to listen. I do when I do read things like this, it's a little harder on Zoom. It was much easier at a table, but I do look like at your face just for like your facial gestures, because they usually do give them away. But yeah, the next one, the next one is cute and it's a nice vart. And I would never have shared this with my students because I never was a fan of using gematria as a cutesy way of getting your students excited. But okay, that's what the next one is. So he says, Hodia la Mordechai perusho shel kesef gematria eitz. What is the gematria of the word kesef? It's 160. It is the same gematria as eitz. Kemosha katuv tosos perik kamad megillah v'im kein ad the rabba piv hirshiru lemor ha'etz natun lach l'tlot alav. When Mordechai, sorry, when Achashverosh says the words ha'etz natun lach l'tlot alav, the tree was given to you to hang him. Hainu ve'et parashat ha'kesef, and Achashverosh also says the words parashat ha'kesef ha'etz has the same gematria. And that's what happens. So he says, "Elo chora yesh lefak fake al zeh." V'vaday lemaskana v'kush tashkvar einu shenitle haman al eitz. Hare anu mevinim shayu zeh tamun b'tshuvato shel Achashverosh hakesef natan lach u'pich shilo. Because that now, the first part is like it's cute, but you sit there and you're like, really? That's the connection. Hamin ha'etz Haman, and by the way, Haman himself, his gematria is hakesef. Right, his name, because it's just kidding. I read that wrong. Yeah, Yeah, I take that back. Ha'etz, ha'kesef. So he says that's the connection to it. So at least the Chasam Sofer says, like, let's just be honest with ourselves. In the end, when you reach the point of ha'etz, at the end of the story, when we get to Perek, I think it's Perek Vav, the end of Perek Vav. So then he says, Limafreya, we realize what was going on. Aval kodem lezeh, leMordechai leEsther minalan leMordechai leEsther lehamis bekesef gematria shel eitz. How is it possible that they sat there and were like being dan a gematria to see what was going to be happening? So he says, we'll skip a line, a period of the next line. Elosh kapala itabi adam shatid echad mishluchei nachash akadmoni lihikashel bekliat eitz. They had a Kabbalah. They had a Mesorah that one of the people that was from the descendants, so to speak, or from the messengers of the Nachash HaKadmoni, the original snake, would end up dying by hanging on a tree. Kidichtiv hamin ha'etz. Alkein kishayatza mipi achashverosh hakesef natan lach. When Mordechai had heard the words hakesef natan lach, chashav Mordechai shezoi haman ara hazeh sofal adin be'etz v'haynu. So he said, he in the end, it's true, but he said they had a Kabbalah all along that someone, one of the bad characters from the story, would die by hanging. And when he heard the word hakesef, he said, hakesef, ha'etz, it's the same gematria, and therefore it must be Haman. So therefore he felt a little bit more, a little bit less nervous about Haman's decree, and certainly he didn't feel as bad as the Ben Yoyada said about starting up with Haman.
How did Mordechai hear about Hakesef Nasanach?
Where would he have heard that? So it's a good question. You know, it doesn't sound like Haman. It sounds like Haman and Achashverosh had like a nice meeting where they drank to themselves. So this one, it seems, both of these answers seem a little bit stretched. So again, from the perspective of knowing the way the story ends, yeah, we sit there and we're like, okay, it works.
No, but the whole point is that he's saying that it's not. It wasn't about how it ended. He was from the more or less the beginning.
Even the Chasam Sofer does say that. Listen, lemaskana v'kushta. In the end, it makes sense. He throws in that there's a Kabbalah. They had a Mesorah that something was like this was going to happen. And the Ben Yehoyada says, no, it's just. He knew this from the word Haman Eitz. He already knew Haman was going to die on the tree, and he was fine. Neither one of those answers, at least for me, sits well, because both of them leave me wondering, like, yeah, in the end, when you get to the end of the story, you can see it. But from the beginning of the story, to say that Mordechai and Esther knew where this was going, I have a hard time with that. So enters in the Marsha. The Marsha says, no. He said, this is not something that Mordechai knew from the beginning. But what is the connection between Hamin Ha'etz and between Haman? How does the Gemara and Chulin say that they're connected and they're one and the same? It says that Haman and Adam, who are connected with this tree, they both had one problem. It said, if you think about it, Adam HaRishon had everything in the world. And there was this one tree, Hamin Ha'etz, this one tree or two trees that he couldn't have. And it bothered him so much that he couldn't have it that he felt compelled to eat from there. Think about the words of Haman. Haman says, I have all of these things. We're going to see it in just a few moments. And then he says, V'chol zeh einena shove li. And all of this is not worth anything to me, so long as Mordechai the Jew is alive. And the answer to that is, fine, so let's introduce the eights to get rid of Mordechai. So to have everything and still not be happy because there's one thing you're missing, that's as the Marsha is what's wrong with Haman and what's wrong with Adam. Rabbi Simmons on the Aish website says that the eights was meant to be an announcement to all that Haman has like one set of values and the Jewish people and Mordechai have a different set of values. And in the end, it is the eights of that's intended to kill Mordechai that kills Haman to tell us that the values of the Torah beat the values of Haman. I will say that Rabbi Simmons is a nice drasha, but there's no question that the Marsha's answer is a beautiful answer that I think avoids going into major drush. It's telling us that this pasuk is in and of itself, or this piece of Gemara, these six words, are a drush, but he explains the drush in a way that we don't sit there like scratching our head and be like, really? How does that connect? But rather, it's something that totally makes sense. So now that we've established that there's a connection between that tree and between Haman, let's take a look at the psukim of the advice and see if we can get a little bit further.
So, does it probably connect connects even more, right? There's a catalyst with the original eitz that Adam had, right? There was Chava, and over here it's Haman's wife. So there's definitely more of a connection than probably meets the eye here.
Yeah, for sure. The only thing I will say, because I feel like I have to say this so nobody thinks that we're leading in this way, nobody says that the 50 Amma tree is a piece of this, like, the Eitz Hadas from the beginning. I only say that because that would be like, that would be too convenient and too perfect. And we'd be like, wait a second, like that, you know, like that. How did they find that? So we're going to find two other sources of where it came from, neither being the Eitz Hadas. Okay, let's take a look at the Megillah. This is after party number one. Haman comes out, he's Sameach V'Tov Lev. He is in such a good place. It's amazing. He's on cloud nine. He's being invited once again to a second party. We spent a lot of time when we learned Megillas Esther, so I'm not going to spend any time on it now other than to say you should look at it. If you look at how he's referred to invited at the end of party number one, he is treated as an equal to Ahasuerus. So if you're a power-hungry person, which we know Haman is from the way Perek Vav goes, and all of a sudden you're treated and put on the same stage as the king by the queen, you're in a really good place. Uchirod Haman at Mordechai b'shar ha-melech v'lokam v'lozami menu v'aymalei Haman al Mordechai chema. So when Haman sees Mordechai in the gate of the king and he doesn't move at all, Haman is enraged. V'aytapak Haman holds back. I do believe, I actually remember this from, I think I remember it from Chidon HaTanach with Rabbi Attic, Zichronon Levracha, but v'aytapak, either it connects somewhere in the Torah, maybe even it could be that we have a similar language by Yosef. I'm not sure. In the Yosef or Paro stories, it's possible. But I do remember, if it's not exactly the same, maybe it's similar. So Haman holds back. He comes to his house and he calls for, and he sends for, rather, his beloved ones and Zeresh, his wife. This is such a pathetic scene. Haman tells his entire family about all of his great wealth, the rov banav, how many children he has. He calls her Gilo Amelach, and how the king has made him great. And how he has been raised up, his chair is raised higher, or his position is raised higher on all the sarim and the avdei Amelach. Now he's telling who? He's telling Ohavav and Zeresh Ishto. Now, if there's anybody that knows this information, of course it's his wife and his closest people, right? When you meet someone for the very first time, you can impress them by telling them all your great accomplishments. But when you are talking to people that you've been with for years and years and years and years, so they're like, we heard it already. And I remember in camp, I have like a lot of head counselors. So some of them are like new, but I had one like that was with me for like 10 years. And like, she would make fun of me that like, when I would tell a story, she'd be like, yup, I know this one. This is Aladerach, Satan, the story number 67. This is 94. She's like, I heard it already. But like, I'd be like sitting there, like, there's only so many great stories that happen in camp. If you're there for one or two summers, you're probably not going to hear all of them because there has to be a specific connection to why you tell the story. But if it's someone who's been there for so long, they're like, we heard it already. Right? They've heard it already. And that's what, and yet they're listening to him. And what happens? Vayomer Haman, af lo havia Esther amalkai imamelech alam ishtesher astaki motiv gam lamachar ni karu lach imamelech. Now, other than the end of the pasuk, gam lamachar, he probably had told his family and friends already that, listen, I was at this party. But he's saying, and tomorrow I'm called again, im hamelech, with the king. Interesting. I don't know if I remember this in Megillas Esther. David, you're the only one here to like, to say one way or the other. So I apologize if that's extra pressure, but I don't remember if we discussed im hamelech here, but im is on the same playing field. So it could be what he's saying is, lemachar ni karu im hamelech, I am an equal to the king. V'chol zeh einena shoveli. And this is not worth anything to me. I believe, Shoveli, this is not a common phrase in Tanakh. We don't have very many of them, but Haman says it at least twice. None of this is where, he says it's by the Jews, by the way, right?
That's exactly it. Yeah.
I'm like upset about that I never learned the Megillah when I was like 12, 13 years old to Lane and could be able to do that. But yeah. And in all of that, all of my accomplishments, all of my accolades are not worth anything in the moment that I see Mordechai the Jew sitting in the gate of the king. Now let's just remind ourselves, what's supposed to happen to Mordechai? Right, there's a death sentence on Mordechai as he's a Jew, and this is like Nisan time. It's only 11 months away. But he can't handle it. So Vatomer lo zeresh ishto v'cholo avav, yasu eitz gavoa chamishim ama, make a tree that's 50 amos tall, uvavoker mor lemelech, v'yiklu et Mordechai lavo im amelech, ala mishtel sameach, v'yitav adavar lefne aman, v'yas ha'eitz. So what happens? It says, make a 50 amma tree that's very tall, that's like, I don't know, 75 to 100 feet. I don't know how that compares to like the great redwoods in California, but we're talking about a really, 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 really high tree. And in the morning, you'll tell the king and you'll hang Mordechai on him before you come to the Mishteh, and you'll come to the Mishteh Sameach, not Tov Lev, but just Sameach, and this is all good in the eyes of Haman, Vayas Ha'etz, and he makes the tree. Now,
just one quick note on the Hisapek, I look back, so it's Vayachal Yosef, the Hisapek of Holy Sabimelov.
Okay. Awesome. So it is. I still remember. I was not one of like the good Chidon HaTanach people. I just really loved going to Chidon HaTanach. But there were some really, really, really good Chidon HaTanach people. And Rabbi Attic would like just have, he'd be like, where do we have this word? And it's like based on that year we did Bereshis and the Megillah. And like you'd have like the inner circle that would sit around them and be like, oh, of course. And like they would just like, they would pop these out. So I like remember it from 6th, 7th, 8th grade. But I couldn't pull off any better than that. So thank you, Shmuel. I appreciate that. Okay, so I'm going to tell you something that we're not going to do, but if you want to have fun between now and Purim, read the story of, in Malachim, of the field of Navot HaKarmelit, the guy that had a field that Achav wanted, and how Achav gets the field. This story is almost the same. In fact, if you really want to see that, let me know, and I will look up online to find the article by Rabbi Yonatan Grossman on it. I don't think we fully did it at the Megillah Shir, but I didn't want to chance it. So okay, so where are we at here? We have this really strange scene, but I want to share with you a beautiful thought that's not yet going to help us understand the tree, but it is something that Rav Yigal points out that is so beautiful. So he says that the family, who is the strongest, most normal family in the Megillah? It's actually Haman's family. It's if you look at like some of the childish like movies or things that are made, renditions of Megillah's Esther, it like they always make Haman's wife out to be someone who doesn't like him. His children are horrible people who don't listen to anything he says. That's usually how they portray it. I never thought about it, but it's like it couldn't be further from the truth. Haman seems to have a very dedicated wife who's, you know, at every point is there to try to help him out. He has these 10 sons. We have no indication that these sons are anything but loyal. You have this beautiful family that exists, and he says it's contrast to Mordechai's family. What's Mordechai's family? Mordechai, we don't know that he has any children. He's married to Esther, or he's taking care of Esther. Esther is his orphaned niece. This is not the picture-perfect family. It's a broken family that he's taken care of. And he says that in Galus, the Jews lose not only their nationhood, which of course we know the Jews lose when they don't have their land, but they also lose the family normalcy. In fact, Yirmiyahu tells them when they come to Bavel, his nevuah to them is, go to Bavel, build houses, make families, and everything will be fine. Go about your normal everyday life, and we'll circle back in 70 years, and you'll come back. He says, Rav Yigal points out, it's only at the end of the Megillah that what happens, Mordechai is known as Dover Shalom Bechol Zaro. He's able to speak peacefully to all of his children, which would indicate that he is in a good place vis-a-vis his family. That is how the Megillah ends. But at this point in time, the only normal family is Haman's family. And so he points out that this just shows you the instability, which really is the message of the Megillah. It's the instability of the exiled Jew. But we still don't know where this tree came from. Where do you find the 50 Amma tree? You have to find, you know, now if it was already in his garden, okay, so she's saying, we have that big tree already that you know about, so just turn that into the gallows. But that's not what she really seems to be saying. Ya'asu eitz gavoach mishem ama. You're going to have to make a piece of wood that's really that tall. Now, one possibility is that this is not going to be one straight piece of wood, but you're going to Home Depot, you're buying a lot of really long planks or, I don't know, 2x4s or whatever, and you're creating this really tall gallows. So when it's, yeah, even though it's in singular, Yasu Eitz Gavoa, it's really like Eitz is a conglomerate of many pieces of wood, and it's together one piece of wood. That is one possibility. But back to where we started, Rabbi Penner and his somewhat drunken sermon goes like this. So if you take a look to the left, it says like this: Govoha acharig shel ha'etz v'tifarto yitei rav v'kviyat midato b'mispar shalem u'muchlat chamishim ama heniko le'etz chashivut mishalo v'asu oto nosei ledrasha. The fact that you're talking about a tree that's this tall, this is a drasha made to happen. Chachamim ta'ol mahut ha'etz ele shehitzigu et ha'sheila b'ofen techni. So the rabbis were worried about this as well, but they ask it from a technical standpoint. Where did Haman find a tree that was so tall? Eitz ben chamishim ama umatzu lo dugmaot umekor b'mikra b'tevat Noach o b'veis hamikdash. They found two pieces of wood that would serve. That would serve to be the sources of 50 amma planks of wood, either Tevas Noach or the Beis HaMikdash. Now, where in the Teva would you find a piece of wood that was that tall?
Center beam going down the middle.
Okay, so going down the middle in what way? You're talking about...
From front to back.
The length.
Right, the length, not the height. So I don't know, for all these years, I always thought that it was like the one going up, but then, like, as I was thinking about it, I was like, it couldn't be because the teva is only shloshim ama komato. It's only 30 amos. So you guys are right. It has to be a floorboard along the length of the teva. So he says like this. His wife said, "Go find a 50 ama piece of wood." He went to go find a 50 amma piece of wood. Right? We've all been there. Our wife asks us to find something that is like not so simple. You don't want to come home and be like, I don't know, I looked and I couldn't find it. So he's looking for what his wife said. Elishalach lebeno parsha danta, not nadata, shaya hegmon bekordunya. He sent one of his kids who was a governor in the province of Kordunya, v'natal neser achad mitevato shel Noach, and he went and took from the teva of Noach. Shaya arko shel neser nun ama, shai hasakadosh baruch hu oto zikaron leolam, sheyudu dorot olam shevi mabul olam, shechein katov ksiv zeichar san alotav. The Hashem makes it that the teva lasts for all of time. It's still there at this point in time. His son goes to Kordunya and finds it. Now, of course, The problem with this is that you're talking about he is in where? Shushan, which is in, I don't know, somewhere in Iran, and he has to go that night and be back by late in the night. He makes it all the way to somewhere near Har Ararat, which is in Turkey, and he brings it back. Okay? But I don't know if this is really meant to be taken literally. It's a nice drasha. Let's take a look at the second source. Botasha Amas Aliyahuzal, Nid Malacharvona, Echad Mistrisa Melech. So Charvona, who was Charvona Zachor Latov? He might have been Eliyahu, who appeared like Charvona. And he was one of the Sri Se'amelech. Amar lo, Adoni Amelech, yesh eitz beveito shel aman mibeit kachei HaKadashim. He has a big piece of wood in his house from the Kodesh HaKadashim. Shenemar, v'even a beito yar levanom, v'yasad ulam amudim chamishim ama, arko u'shalosh amot rachpo. In the Beis HaMikdash, we have somewhere a source in Malachim, when the Beis HaMikdash was being built, that there were these pieces of wood that were 50 amos high or long, 50 amos long. And he got one of those. And miyad tziva hamelech lotloto, the king has him hanged. Now, according to the second possibility, what Charvona is saying is, listen, king, we took a lot of stuff when Nebuchadnezzar ransacked the Beis HaMikdash and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. He took the best stuff back. You don't think these pieces of wood were taken back? Of course they were. These were like prize wood. You could build something really good with it. What's the issue? The issue is, Charvona says, he stole from the treasury of the king. The king is the owner of all the stuff that was ransacked from the Beis HaMikdash, and here it is that he's taking it. So it's not right. Now, probably if this had been told to Prakim earlier, nothing would have happened to him. But after he messed up at party number two, and it was pointed that he is the Aman Tzorer HaYehudim, and then on top of that, after he's the Tzorer HaYehudim, he's also he also falls on the couch and looks like he's about to try to rape the queen. All of that, and he stole from your treasury all that did him in. And therefore the king has him, wants him hanged. What's the connection between all of this? What's the connection between Haman? What's the connection between Noach and the Teva? What is the connection between the Beis HaMikdash? So what's the unique quality of the Teva, the unique quality of the Beis HaMikdash? How do they connect? So this is, I believe, the answer. Vigal Ariel offers the following, that both the Beis HaMikdash and the Teva represent a place where the Hashgacha of Hashem is so clear. Nobody that was in the Teva would ever question the existence of God. They would not have survived all these years if not for the fact that God was taking care of them. And similarly, in the Beis HaMikdash, everybody agreed that this was the house of God. So what happened? It's a message that God is there for the tzaddikim. So Rav Yigal Ariel, it's a little bit late, and I didn't copy it for you. So I'll explain to you outside what he says. He basically says that this tree that Haman was taking, his goal was to take this tree and say, "What am I? Yase Eitz Gavo? I'm going to take this tree and I'm going to kill Mordechai on it." But what he didn't realize was Hamin HaEitz, the idea of tree. Is that the tree could be good or it could be bad, but God wants it to be the good. Remember, the tree we started with was the Eitz Hadaat Tov Vara. It's the Eitz of good. The Teva and the Beis HaMikdash were places where God saves the good people. Haman thought that he would be able to take the tree and use it as a way of turning on the good people. But in the end, the Hashgacha of Hashem, as like hinted by the Medrash saying that either this piece of wood came from the Teva or from the Beis HaMikdash, the Hashgacha of Hashem was there in the end to turn the piece of wood on the bad person, to turn the piece of wood to kill the bad person, which would, much like the Teva and much like the Beis HaMikdash, would save Mordechai, the tzaddik, the good person. And I believe the message that Rav Yigal Ariel wants to say is that the beauty of the of this piece of the story and the beauty of the Megillah in general is that even though there are many times in Jewish history where the path to our salvation is very treacherous, sometimes it's, you know, it has a happier ending, like the story of the Megillah, where only where none of the Jews actually get hurt in the process of the good ending. And sometimes it's much worse. Sometimes there's a lot of destruction. Destruction like the flood, destruction like the end of the Beis HaMikdash, all of that. And yet, Jewish history is circular, that in the end, we always come out ahead, we always come up on top. Why? Because that piece of eitz is always going to be there to represent that the Hashgacha of Hashem will save us and will be there for us. God willing, we should see a Geula Shleima, much like better than the Megillah story, because the Megillah story, I don't think, ends in a Geula Shleima. It ends in a quasi Geula. The Jews are okay, but there's still a lot more to be done. Mirtz Hashem, we should be Zoche, that Purim should be a Zman Geula for all of us. And I wish everybody a good Shabbos and a Purim Sameach.